Mary's homework.
All about love. A two-way street. And it's when Jesus was letting, loving the girl who wanted to anoint his feet. Said, no, I mean, what would that have been? I can't let you do that. I can't receive this.
Where is it?
Love. Where? What?
What are you talking about?
What, in the scriptures?
Yeah. Well, let me just give you the bottom line one.
No, wait. I can't give you the exact, but it's where she takes the perfume and puts it in her hair. And I say...
She takes perfume and puts it in her hair?
She washes his feet with her hair, and she uses a really expensive perfume.
Till she anoints his feet.
Yeah.
Right.
But that was an expression of love, which Jesus said he could not accept. And it's a well-known story.
That's not right.
Okay.
The only way we can do this is to go there.
Okay.
But let me just give you one, and then you can continue the homework. Till you have the scripture. The one is, if you love others and expect a return, what different are you than the Gentiles? Because they love who they love, who loves them. So there's no difference between, you expect a transaction. It's just so that the Gentiles expect a transaction.
Okay.
And you're supposed to love your enemies too.
You love your enemies without regard to any...
You don't get anything back.
Anything
back. I don't contest that, and I believe that. But that doesn't negate the fact that if someone wants to love you, it's okay for you to love them back. I mean,
I didn't say it wasn't okay. I'm saying it's not a necessary transaction.
No, it's not.
Your love, the love of the brethren, the love of, you all know man anything but love, then that can't have an expectation of a two-way street.
Right, and I don't believe I had expectation in my comments.
I thought that's what the whole comment was about.
Oh, gosh, no.
You said love is a two-way street. So if it's a two-way street, that means you expect something in return for your love.
Well, if you say it that way, you're 100% right.
Okay, well, how else can I say it?
Well, partly in the example where...
Well, I don't want the example unless you can show it in scriptures.
Well, come on, Ollie.
I'm serious. That's the way this was...
You know where it is. Tell me where it is.
No, we'll go there when you find it and show it and think about it. That's the whole point of this.
You know the story. And the point of that story, I believe, is indicative of he did not reject her love. He let her love him, and he loved her. So it wasn't, violating love to let her wash his feet.
That's not the point, Gary. If you expect something in return for love.
Well, only you're saying the same thing, and I've already told you that's not where I'm coming from. But if you're going to keep saying that, I'll have to agree. Because I know love can't have expectations. God pours himself out regardless. The rain, he gives the rain to the just and unjust. So,
all right.
Without measure.
All right,
I know all that.
All right, well, let's continue this when you find the scriptures, both you and Sue, that you were supposed to do this homework for Sue because she was going to ride piggyback on it. But we can do that tomorrow, okay? I really want you to find it and read it, not just some memory of it.
Okay.
All right. Yesterday we talked about Romans 13. Let's go there a minute. I want to spend some more time on it.
Romans
13? Yeah. We start, the part about love starts in verse 8. owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, well, I don't want to talk about that till we go with. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And somehow, casting off the works of darkness is intimately related to what love is. But what does it mean? What are the works of darkness?
Anything that enhances the self-life.
Well, if we believe that thing we studied about, the eye is single, the whole body is full of light, but if the eye be evil, then there's the light that is in you in darkness, and how great is that darkness? And the word evil is poneros. And that means toil, if you have something to do. And so, anything that you believe is necessary to do is a work of darkness. Now, everything else about the mystery of Christ in us is an automatic. Faith, if it's not automatic, it's not faith. Love, if it's not automatic, it's not love. The whole panoply of the fruit of the life of Christ is automatic. Now, that breathing, it's as automatic as breathing. It's in effect, it becomes automatic as seeing. Because what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. There's no thought given. And the whole idea is that the thought process is removed from the equation. That's why the work of darkness, by definition, is this thing. That's why we love the great commandment is, we love with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, but with all our mind. And the mind is the action of thinking. Now, this is all I can say is from my experience in this mystery. If I am thinking about something, then I know I am returning to the work of darkness. Now, I mean, in everything. So we cast off the work. Let's finish reading that. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no or not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, to make provision for the flesh is as natural as for the man. I mean, that's what everything that the mind does is to make provision for the flesh. How can you live not making provision for the flesh? I mean, this is a stupid one. But it's in the potluck that we've done when we have a potluck dinner. Nobody really thinks about it. You just bring what you like, it seems, and it always works out. For me, in this Thanksgiving thing, I didn't even think about it. The thing I'm going to bring is sweet potatoes, sweet potato casserole. The thing Pete's going to bring is the thing he always brings. Sue's going to cook the turkey. I mean, it's just, there was no thinking about it. There was no assignments. But can you see that can become everything about your life? And so, and all of it, the predicate of it all is love. And love becomes automatic. It's like you're never aware of your eyes unless something is in your eye or something's bothering you. You're never aware of your breath unless you have a cold or a cough. You're never aware of your body except it gets cold or something. But in each level time that the awareness comes. Now, the point that we've always done is every time we have a perceived need, we go to this thing for a solution. I'm saying to you that every time you have a perceived need, at that instant, give it to God and then forget about it. That's what living by faith means. That's what the great commandment is. Love the Lord with all. Let's go back there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. By doing so, there's no room for giving importance to anything else. Remember, love here is a verb that doesn't mean, when we hear the word love, we think something comes up, you know, all fuzzy, weasley, whatever. But this word for love, this means what you're giving importance to. So you can only give importance to God. Then everything else is automatic. That's the meaning of Christ in you, the only hope of glory. It's not just Christ, it's Jesus Christ in us. And that's a big difference because it's the Word made flesh. So all I'm saying to you is that this great commandment that we've been studying and loving your neighbor as yourself becomes the automatic of the cross, if the cross is lived. But you can't live it a little bit. There can't be a single arena in your life where you're making provisions for the flesh. Now this sounds impossible, but this is what the Word says. And all I'm asking you to do is when you find yourself in a position where you need to think about something, Father, forgive me, I give this to you. Then repentance becomes the only thing that is possible for you to do. Evil.
Right.
And then even the light that is in you is darkness. But how great is the darkness? It's how the great darkness is because you think you see.
Yeah. If we do great works for you, we cast out demons.
But anything in this arena, anything in time and space that you give importance to and you've left the mystery. You've left the mercy seat. You've returned to the weak and beggarly elements of the world for a solution. I keep saying you have no investment in the outcome of anything. And that sounds really weird. But to me, that's the only way that whatsoever you do unto the Lord in thought, in word, in deed, you heartily is unto Him. Whatsoever you do in thought, word, and deed, you heartily is unto the Lord. Then by definition, if there is an investment in the outcome, then the thing that you're doing has become an idol. And no matter how good you think it means, what it is that communicating? I mean, we've spent so much time on this subject.
This is where you risk failure.
Yeah, of course. Whole mystery of Abraham as you go without knowing. And this, you know, you'll reach, there'll be things where this is nigh unto impossible. And that's where you say, Father, forgive me. And wait. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Because everything in us says, don't wait. Do something. Let's go back to Exodus 15 a minute. Now, before we do that, let's go to Ephesians 6. Verse 10. This is one of the last letters that Paul wrote.
6:10.
Chapter 6, verse 10. If you use two hands, you could do it quicker.
Then it's double trouble. Barely use one.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil aren't something external. They're everything that goes on in your mind. Now, nobody believes that, really. Until you, my God, I'm the evil. I'm the man of sin. I'm the son of perdition. And once you see that, then putting on Him becomes as easy as breathing. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, until you know that that's talking about the actions of your mind, you'll never understand this. You'll always be the spiritual wickedness is something that's going on somewhere else. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, which is the evil day? Today is the evil day if you're still walking in time and space. Take unto the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. the fiery darts, they're not somebody with a bull gun blowing darts at you. The fiery darts are your thoughts. When you take up the shield of faith, it's just stupid. You don't have to pay attention to it anymore. But the minute you think you've got a good idea, then you've fallen. The minute you think you've apprehended, then you've also fallen. It's always empty, always empty, always empty. Take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet of salvation? That's putting on something else instead of your mind. Your mind now is your helmet. And it has nothing to do with salvation. All the world is wandering after the beast. The only thing that all the world has ever wandered after is themselves. And you wander after the beast by your own mind. You have nothing else to wander with. You understand? There's no possibility for everyone, all in the world, to wander after the beast unless the beast is themselves. And this is so. Can you take off this helmet? Ignore this helmet. This this is what the great commandment is all about. It's all about the battlefield is your mind. Now let's go to. What did I say go before?
I don't know why this is hitting me this way, but it's like it's almost as if the helmet protects others from your mind.
Exodus, you said Exodus.
Oh yeah, Exodus 15. It's not, it's Exodus 14. Let's just start verse 4. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. It doesn't change. Stand still and see salvation of the Lord. Now, Pharaoh and his armies are a parable of the evil one and all your thoughts in you. It's not just something that people debate about that what may or may not have happened and where it happened. Nobody cares. Some people do, I guess. But that happened for your sake, that you might see. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Just remember your baptism. Pharaoh died in the sea.
Yeah.
Only he remains. Only he has life. And one of the great, and then they, you know what they did, but then chapter 15 is the song of Moses that is just mind-bending. I can't imagine what that must have sounded like when they sang it at the temple, and they sang it every Passover. Anyhow, that's enough for today. Please remember your homework. Yeah, but you didn't remember. You remembered.
I remember, but didn't do it.
Yeah.
The dog ate it.
Okay, it's on him. Dog ate your homework. Yeah, Dooley ate your homework.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.